sprinkling the light and sprinkling the salt and shining the light. When James spoke about the various salts, including the Himalayan mountain salt, which apparently are advertised as, you know, 5 million year old mountains, pure salt, available for you at your local supermarket, and somebody goes and buys one and said, just my luck, it expired last week. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. Simple little song, but one with many important truths in it. We are called to shine. We are called to be salt in the world. And I wonder how we are doing as individuals and as a congregation. I think it's important to notice that Jesus doesn't say you should be the light or you could be the salt. He says you are. You are the salt. You are the light. There's no plan B. And if we have met Jesus and if we are in a relationship with Jesus, then we are salt. We are light because we have Jesus living within us. You might remember one of the I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. He says, I am the light of the world. He is the original, he is the source of light. But then he says, you are the light of the world, because it is he in us who is able to be that light. He is the true light that shines in the darkness, as we were reminded at Christmas time. And when we are linked up with Jesus, we have his light to shine in us and through us. And so Jesus wasn't just speaking to the spiritual heavyweights who were entrusted with the important responsibility of being that salt and that light. He was speaking to the common people, people like you and me. Those two images of salt and light speak particularly about our witness and our service in the world around us. Jesus didn't say you are the light. He says you are the light of the world. You are the light for the world. He didn't just say you are salt. He said you are the salt of the earth. Salt in a salt cellar is no good. Neither is a candle that is unlit. And sadly, sometimes our churches are like big salt cellars, and the salt gathers on a Sunday, but it pretty much stays within the church. We are like a light sometimes, which remains hidden behind the walls and the roof of our buildings, and it doesn't reach beyond the walls as it should. The church is here essentially for the sake of the world. Somebody said it's any organization that exists for the benefit of non-members. And if we are not involved within the world, we are really missing our calling. I think that's why Jesus has harsh words to say for the Pharisees. Their salt, as it were, their light was very much just contained within themselves and their own group, and building up their saltiness, supposedly, and trying to brighten their light, but not allowing that to extend beyond them and their group. It's easy to complain about the state of the world around us, but I think we need to start with ourselves. And if the world isn't what it should be, at least part of the problem probably is that the church isn't all that it should be. That we aren't properly fulfilling our role as salt and light. As James mentioned, of course, in the time of Jesus, one of the main purposes of salt was to preserve food. in that hot climate with no fridges and deep freezers around, the food would very quickly go off unless it was heavily salted. It's like that South African delicacy, biltong, which I think also had its origins when there were no fridges and such like around. And it's simply raw meat that is heavily salted and spiced and then left to cure. Maybe that's why people don't always find it a very attractive prospect. But it's the salt that keeps it from going off. And in a similar way, we have a responsibility of keeping society from going off, as it were, or getting worse. We live in a world of much darkness and violence, of crime, corruption, abuse of women and children, a world of division, of discrimination, of environmental destruction. And without the salt and the light of Christ follows, those things can only become worse. But the salt of our lives can make a difference. A little salt can go a long way. And of course, down the centuries, the church has played a huge role in preserving society, in opposing that which would break it down and destroy it, opposing slavery, opposing exploitation of women and children. And we need to continue in that legacy, being the salt that preserves, that prevents destruction and breakdown. And then, of course, the light as well. Whereas the purpose of salt is really to largely to counteract the negative, the purpose of light is to promote the positive, to promote truth and beauty and goodness. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that people may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And we are light when we say and do things that people can see and for which they can give thanks and glory to God. And maybe when we do something and somebody says to us, "God bless you," maybe that is their way of giving thanks and glory to God for our light, which has shone in some way. And so when we share our faith, when we clothe the naked, when we visit the prisoner or the lonely, when we comfort the bereaved, when we feed the bodies and minds and spirits of people, when we do such things, we are shining the light of Jesus. And a small light can disperse a lot of darkness. Isaiah says, "If you share your bread and care for the homeless, if you cover the naked and deepen your family bonds, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly." Talking of healing, healing also has two aspects, largely, doesn't it? The one aspect is to fight the bad things, as we are hearing so much about it at the moment with the coronavirus, fighting bacteria, fighting viruses. The other is to build up the good, build up the immunity with proper eating, sleep, exercise, and so on. Fighting the bad and promoting the good. It's like the salt and the light. We are here to bring healing to the world. And one side of that is about stopping the rot. The other side is about promoting the good, being the light. But as Jesus says, of course, to be effective, the salt of our lives must remain salty. And the light must remain bright. The salt must be salty enough, must be sufficiently pure, as James was saying, to do its job. The light must be bright enough to disperse the darkness. And we cannot be salt for the world if we are just like the world around us. We need to be different in a way. We need to be distinct. The salt of our lives needs to be in contrast to the dirt or the dust or the impure salt of the world around us. If we are as rotten as the world around us, if our light is hardly brighter than the darkness around us, then we're really not going to be able to achieve much for Jesus. But when the church stands out clearly, when people are able to sit up and notice the church and its distinctiveness, then we are doing what the Lord has called us to do. So how do we retain our saltiness? How do we retain our brightness? And I guess it's fairly obvious, isn't it? Most of all, we need to stay close to the one who is the true salt, the one who has come to rescue, the one who has come to save the world from its decadence and its destruction. We need to stay close to the one who is the true light of the world. And as we stay close to him and walk close to him and allow his Spirit to work in us and through us, then the healing life and the light of Christ almost automatically comes out through us, even without really trying very hard. It just follows like light, day follows night. Jesus, using the image of the vine and the branches, says, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Almost automatically, just as long as the branch remains in the stem, in the trunk, it doesn't have to do much. It just has to be in there, and the sap rises into those branches and it grows and produces fruit. And in a similar way, it's about staying in close communion with Jesus through the means of grace that he's given us, through the scriptures, through prayers, through our fellowship, through our worship, through our communion, through our service in the world. I was reminded of another song from long ago, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Granted, Jesus, this my plea, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. But there is another thing that I want to add, and I think we retain our effectiveness as salt and light when we find an area that is closest to our heart, an area, an issue in the world around us which we feel passionate about. Okay, just a few tiles going off so that the light can get out. To find an area in our own lives that we are passionate about. We cannot do everything, obviously, that is needed for the problems around us, but we can do something about one or two of them. We need to try and identify the area that you feel strongly about. Maybe it's about unemployment or homelessness. Maybe it's about child abuse. Maybe it's about the environment. Maybe it's about evangelism. Maybe it's about teaching people the Bible. Maybe it's about caring for the elderly. You and I will be most effective as salt and light if we focus on an area that burns most brightly within us. That thing that moves us, that maybe disturbs us, that maybe keeps us awake at night. Amen. I'm going to do what a lot of people dread in church, and that is just to take a moment to chat to those nearby you. Think about, just close the door, Carol, are you there? Don't let anybody escape. But just for a moment, think about that salt and light, being salt and light. Think about maybe a way in which, without bragging, you feel you've been able to be used as salt and light. And it doesn't just have to be there. It begins in the home. It begins also in the church, but also extends beyond that. It can be part of our daily job. Talk about that. Or maybe you can talk about some unfulfilled passion or purpose that you feel that God has given you. And maybe you're just needing to get alongside one or two other people to be able to perhaps begin to implement that vision that you have.